The following podcast is a Mass Media production.
Hi, I'm Josh Galindo.
And I'm Crystal Galindo. Welcome to the Going Galindo Rugrats and Renovations podcast.
A lifestyle podcast where we will offer our experience and expertise in building real, lasting wealth through renovating and flipping homes.
And the chaos that comes with balancing a family of six, leaving nothing unsaid.
Follow our wild ride we call life and apply our lessons to your own journey. So, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Josh?
I'm well, thank you. So today we've got Robert Coomer, and he is with Celebrity Home Loans.
Yes.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Coomer is somebody that I admire in the business world because I've watched you grow. I think you've always been relevant as far as business and production, but something that impressed me was when I went to your newest office and looked around and was like, oh my gosh, like what a undertaking to take on this huge space and then all the offices that you had, and you're like, we're gonna fill every one of them, we're going to blow this thing up. And I remember being super impressed by that. So aside from just being a great lender here in town, I thought it was important to bring you on to talk about your business and how you successfully run it and manage it and don't lose your mind doing it.
So been in the business for about 20 years, opened up our first branch 6 years ago and kind of hit the ground running. My division is comprised of different branches that I own. I own about seven of them right now. And then we have five additional branches outside of my ownership, but that fall under my leadership. So
Okay. Combined,
we do right at about $1.5 billion a year in production. And
with a B.
With the B, the big B. Robert Coomer Group is, you know, it's comprised of a retail and consumer direct ecosystem, if you will. So again, the same way that you and I met, how can I add value to you? And in exchange, I want to do business with you. We run them as two separate businesses. I look at it as hunters and gatherers. So my retail brand are hunters. They'll go out, they'll shake hands, they'll meet with people, go to coffee and so forth. My gatherers are my dialers. They sit back, we provide them leads and dial outbound in order to pre-qualify people so that we can give you business that you refer into our retail branch. So If one part of that ecosystem breaks down, the whole system collapses. So that keeps us very busy.
I'm sure.
And then we have additional branches in Hawaii, Washington, Idaho, California that are under my division or my leadership, and we support them from an underwriting, funding, doc drawing, closing, post-closing perspective. So, yeah.
You got your hands full, man.
Our motto is, we're not bankers, we're just like you.
I like so, it. Nice. That's good.
You know, and I think that we run from the inside out with a culture that people really want to be there. They want to work for us. They have the resources that they need internally. And that's a hunger that started within me. And the way I ran my book of business back when I did loans. So we've been extremely successful, and I'm truly grateful.
Hey, I want to take a moment to tell you about Battleborn Injury Lawyers. They handle personal injury, which covers everything from auto accidents to wrongful death. You never know when something bad will happen to you or your family. Make sure you have a resource to contact right away if you should ever need it. Put Matt's number in your phone now. He will not let you down. It's 702-570-9000. Again, guys, it's 702-570-9000. So you said culture, something that I know that we strive for over here, and I think it starts at the top. I don't think somebody outside of leadership comes in and establishes culture that everybody just kind of begins to vibe off of. I think it starts with leadership and then trickles down. And it's funny because for us, you know, I'm relatively new. I'm not. I've been doing real estate for 15 plus years, but I haven't been in a business. There's doing real estate, and then there's being a business owner. So I'm relatively new to the business owner aspect. And I remember one day I kind of looked around, and I'm like, I think we've created a culture. And we didn't mean to. But when I realized that it had been established and happened, then I was like, let's double down on it. Like, let's embrace it. You know, this is going to happen by accident. But now that we know it's here, let's own it and let's expand on it. So in a nutshell, tell us kind of what you've done to create culture. To what kind of culture is it? Is it, what is it?
So I think, you know, culture definitely starts at the top, and just like you, there's been an evolution of me and our company as time has passed. But I'd say the core of culture is empathy, really, you know, feeling the people that you're doing business with, feeling the people that work for you. And a lot of people don't have that in this world. So when we're doing a transaction and let's say there's a hiccup in it, I'm immediately thinking of the buyer and their boxes that are packed. The person selling them that home, are they in contract somewhere else? Sure. Did that real estate agent only sell one house that month and that's their mortgage payment and they can't pay their bills without that sale? So I'm always, you know, thinking about the domino effect, and same thing goes for our employees. We want to make sure they're well taken care of, and I think, you know, if you have a authentic approach, then it goes off to the people that you work with and that work for you, and I think you and I share that trait.
Yeah. Wow. That was well said, actually, because and I think it's an additional challenge that your business has to take into account is you've got so many domino effects, you know, afterwards like if that loan doesn't close, is the buyer packed? Do they have to get out of their house? Do they have to, you know, what does that house mean to them at that moment in their life? And then the agent, like you said, is that their only deal that they're going to close and they need that money to pay their bills and so forth. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. A lot there. You know, something that I'll just share our culture here in a nutshell is we have core values and I love to live by them. And I think it's important for all businesses to create core values because you can hire based on them and you can fire based on them. And it kind of takes the emotion out of both hiring and firing process is you can look at somebody and say, hey, you're just not in alignment with these core values. And when I hired you, you said that was something that you also valued. It makes that decision process, I think, a little bit easier with core values. But something that I believe that our culture is built on is lots of fun, young-minded. And I say that on purpose because I don't care if you're 90. If you're young-minded, I want you part of this environment. And then uber focused on making money. You know, they say money doesn't create happiness, but I think it certainly helps and makes things a lot easier and puts me in a position to be a value to other people in our community. So lots of fun, win-win, and making money.
So. I agree with that thoroughly. And, you know, as you grow, you learn that there's a lot of different personality types that work for us and that we would have to work with. I mean, both consumer and employee. Yeah. But I think we share a lot of the same core values as far as that goes. You can bring a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. And so it really is the individual and if they fit within us. And we're pretty good at identifying that on the front end. My chief operating officer, Anya Ellis, is very, very good at personality, you know, at doing a first round on them. And then I always meet for a round two, and we've been lucky.
Let me tap into her for a second, because I actually thought she was going to be here, because she's so, you guys have such a, what it looks like from my perspective, such a great relationship and such a relationship that seems to be working so well for you two. Mm-hmm. Is she like I mean, explain her. Is she? I don't want to misrepresent. But is she like a core component to your success? And it may not be Anya specifically. It is, and for you. But I'm saying for like people that are listening, how important is it to have that consistent go-to person that believes in you, believes in your vision, that's owning it, that is there to support you? I know for me, I actually encourage this with my agents. I believe the most successful people have a rock to lean on. I've never been able to run this thing alone.
Sure.
I need people around me, specifically one individual that believes in me, that drinks the Kool-Aid, and it's been a big part of my success. I think it'd be important, and I'd love to hear it about you and that role in your life and in your business.
Yeah, Anya joined me in 2004 when she was 23 years old, and wow. as a processor. At the time, I had no idea, you know, how our working relationship would progress. But she's absolutely at the core and the foundation of our culture and of the well-oiled machine that we've built. She's by my side recruiting. She's the company psychologist. She's very protective over me and our reputation. So if anything's going wrong, she's front and center, addressing it head on and fixing it. So we have a really good dynamic. I'm more of a bold personality with an opinion on everything, and she's very calm and listens, hears it out, and will translate it into Coomer language at times. And I don't mean that. Yeah, I don't mean aggressive in a bad way. I just mean I'm faster paced. I have a lot going on. And so the company needs her, and I think she needs the company. It's just a really good dynamic and loyalty, sincerity, and that high and low in the personalities really is what makes us tick.
She's really been in it from the beginning almost with you.
Yeah. We had a 4-year break in there when she gave birth to her daughter and the market crashed in 2006. But for the rest of the time, we've been together. I would say I've had other right-hand people, but keep in mind I just opened branches 6 years ago. Before that, I was a top producer. So when I started opening branches and expanding our footprint, she has been by my side the whole time.
So cool. So cool. Yeah, I love that role in a business leader's life. I think it's cool. And the ones that I've witnessed, the mentors that I've got, they all have that person.
All right, guys, let me make sure I give myself a really quick plug here. I just want to take a moment and make sure I'm crystal clear on what Galindo Group Real Estate offers to the Las Vegas public. We have a company called Galindo Buys Houses that buys homes as is, all cash, and can close in as little as 7 days with no appraisals, no commissions, and we pay all of the fees associated with the closing. So the number we give you is the number you should walk away with from the closing table. You pick your close date, and if you need to, you can stay up to 3 weeks after closing, giving you a home and the much-needed cash to make future decisions. Galindo Buys House is a locally owned company that takes the profits generated here in town and reinvests them locally. We're not that big hedge fund that takes the profits generated here and sends them off to New York and other big cities. I employ people here locally and invest here locally. If you or anyone you know is behind on payments, repairs, or inherited a tenant disaster, don't hesitate to give me a call. We will get you an offer in 5 minutes or less and close in 7 days or less. So please take this number down. It's easy. 820-CASH. Again, it's 702-820-CASH. Talk to you soon.
Why is Robert Coomer the best lender in town?
Why is Robert Coomer the best lender in town? I would say we take a backwards approach to mortgage lending. So when I opened my first branch 6 years ago, I'd lost a lot of money doing it. I built the infrastructure first. So I built the operations and I made sure we had a ton of experience brain power in the building. And every loan is almost pre-underwritten before it moves forward. So when a loan officer originates a file, it always sees somebody to make sure it's a viable transaction. Kind of the motto from Field of Dreams, if you build it, they will come. Well, I built it first. I didn't hire a bunch of sales guys first and then, oh, what are we going to do? How are we going to get this closed? So I would say, you know, sincerity, intelligence, and a well-oiled machine with full infrastructure is what makes us different. We're quick, we're precise, and we can maneuver.
That's cool. Yeah, no, I love one of the things that I thought was really cool about our relationship is that you made it a win-win. Is there so many lenders, while I'm not necessarily personally, the brokerage obviously services this business, but me personally, I focus on my flips. So with that comes with a lot of volume. And then to the outside industries, they believe that it's all retail business. So having said that, I get a lot of escrow companies that come in here and go, hey, can I have your business? I get lenders that come in here and go, hey, please give me your business. And while I'm not necessarily representing buyers where I would need a lender for that, I always sit down and I ask them and I say, because we do, I'll bring in my retail girl, which is Caitlin. She handles all the retail business that comes to me specifically. And we'll sit down and I always look back and I go, where's the win for me? So if I jump ship with who I'm already working with and move everything over to you, that's a big task. It's not easy. But where is my win? And they kind of look back at me and they're like, no one's ever asked me that question. You know, I whether they actually vocalize that statement or they just are thinking it, I could tell that's what's happening. Because most people just take the meeting, lots of yeses, lots of, ooh, that sounds great. And this, but it's like, well, where's the win for me? Like, if I'm going to bring you clients and line your pockets, are you going to bring me clients and line my pockets? And I always just hit them with that. And if it almost ends the meeting immediately. And that was something that that we don't have an issue with working with your company is leads come our way. We give leads your way. It's a totally win-win relationship that I love. And I think that's why on all of my listings, every single agent-to-agent remarks, we encourage the buyers to get pre-approved with you. All of our signs have a rider on it with you. And those things are intentional. I want to align my business efforts with somebody that reciprocates back or gives back. You know, and I think it's important for the people listening. It's easy to get in bed with different title companies or different lenders or different vendors, home inspectors, appraisers, whatever it is. But always sit down and ask them, how am I also going to win? The best line I've ever heard, I thought it was awesome, was Aaron Taylor. I went to lunch with him. And he says, we're at Grape Street. And the guy's an unbelievable salesman. Just even though he's not, just sitting at lunch with him, he's selling. So this is a plug. And so good for you, Aaron. But he goes, I don't give my business to anybody that doesn't give me theirs. He's like, I don't go to the hair salon and get my hair cut by that hair lady unless she is going to buy or sell a house with me. And I hope I'm not quoting him incorrectly here, but I think I got his point, whether it's that severe or not. I think I understood his point. And I was like, wow. He's like, and then the server walks over, drops down the check. He goes, who did you use to buy and sell your house? She's like, you. I'm like, wow. This guy goes to the bartender. Who did you use to buy and sell your house? You. I'm like, all right, that's a good model. So I think it's important that if somebody's wanting to solicit your business, to not be afraid or ashamed to respond with, well, how do I also win? How do I make money as well? Robert Coomer does that. So if you
Yeah, that's another thing that's huge to us in our business model is most lenders out there come to you with an open hand. Hey, I'm better. I'm wearing better cologne today. I can close faster. Every excuse in the book to get you to release your business, but there's no real value add. And so about 3 years ago, we created our retail consumer direct hybrid model where rather than purchasing and co-marketing leads, we buy our own leads and pass out qualified buyers to our real estate partners. So again, it's always how do we add value first? And we always come to the table with, you know, I want to give you business first, and then we'd love to build a relationship and gain the trust of the people that work for you.
I think it's a great model. I think it's a great model. Good for you for doing that.
Hey everyone, it's time to tell you about one of our sponsors, Nick Marietta at Southwestern Custom Construction. Nick does it all. He's got a construction company, a wholesale business, and a flipping business. He's someone you can count on, and the best part is that there's no job too big or small for him. Nick is your guy. If you need help with a complete flip or even a small renovation project, you can reach Nick at 480-235-8148 or find him on Instagram and Facebook at The Real Nick Marietta.
So let me ask you this, Robert. So one of the questions here, and I'll read it word for word. Have there been pivotal moments in your life that have forced you to choose the path you're on and ultimately led to your success? So did you have like a big moment where you're like, it's working. I'm going to double down on what's working. Or, you know, what did you, do you have a moment like that where you're like, wow, this is, I'm in it.
Yeah, I think I've had quite a few of those in my life. So, I mean, I opened my first business at 8 years old. I sold candy to kids in my apartment complex as a kid. So,
let me hear that model really quick. How did you get the candy cheap and then sell it for more?
I went to Smart and Final and just marked it up to 50 cents a bag of Skittles or lollipop.
So the premium was that Robert brought it to your door.
Yeah,
there you go.
Absolutely. I sold it in the sandbox and opened my second business. I was selling roses in front of a fine dining restaurant on Friday and Saturday nights. And
where was that at?
El Torito in Los Angeles, California.
That's mm-hmm. fantastic. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. Then I bred rabbits and sold them out in front of the pet store at the mall. So I was kind of direct competition with them. And so I'd say the pivotal moment with mortgage is I became a bartender at 21 years old, and I was making more money than I knew what to do with. And I always had this voice in the back of my head said, Coomer, this has a shelf life. And
smart.
Yeah. So I was on a trip, my first trip to Rosarito, Mexico, and got to talking to a patron at the bar, and he told me what a loan officer does. I'm like, loan officer, math. I always used to get in trouble in school for not showing my work in math because I do it all in my head. So came back, and one of my customers or patrons at the bar was a real estate agent. I said, I want to meet your loan officer, and never look back. I was number one in sales ever since the first month that I started in the business, and took it all the way through 2018 when I stopped doing loans completely, and now I just invest in the people that work for me. So
that's incredible.
Different pivotal moments. I think it stems from always just wanting more, never being satisfied. And it's not money related. It's just what's next.
I agree. There's a few things there I want to relate with. When I was in SafeKey, after my mom, I was raised by a single mom, so she would work late, and after school I would go to SafeKey. I would draw pictures of stories, and then I would staple five pages together. And when the parent would come to pick up Jimmy, the whole time I'm selling Jimmy on the magazine or whatever it was that I was selling. And as soon as mom or dad rolled up, that was my moment. And how does a mom or dad say no? So I would roll up to him. I'd say, hey, you know, I'm selling these for $5, and hit him with my speech. And I'd make sales that way. And so I agree that for the people listening, if these were some of the things that you did as a kid, you've got it. So if you're stuck today, think back to when you were young. If you were already thinking on how to make money, then you've got it today. You just got to keep banging on it till something sticks, and then you double down on what is stuck. But I remember it was that, and then I got into my mom's boyfriend at the time was throwing away shoe polish, which is a logical thought now. I mean, who gets their shoes polished often, or at least has a kit that they do on their own? And I was like, wait, let me have that. And I printed out like 200 shoe polishing flyers, and I rollerbladed around the whole neighborhood and put them on everybody's doors. And I was in the shoe polishing business. And then it's just funny to hear you say it was almost a repeat of, and then I got into the service industry. And I remember working at Nora's, and I was like, I always wanted to be the best. And so we would turn tables super fast because it was a small restaurant. So the only way they could make money was to turn tables fast. And I was like super jamming all the time. Well, the guests could tip us on the side, the bussers. If I was lucky, I'd get $40 to $60 a night from the server. And I would make the same amount, $40 to $60 from the guests, which spoke volumes to the service that I was providing to them. And anyway, and then I jumped into being a pool attendant at the Mirage. And I remember this was a pivotal moment for me, like what you just kind of described, is I made $386 in one day selling chairs. And I didn't even know that kind of money existed. Like, I didn't. I remember thinking, like, holy cow, in one day, almost $400. And at that moment, I kind of got a taste for it. And I was like, this is – however I go about making money, that's what I'm going to do. It's going to be my focus, which is to just make more money. And then to go to your last point, which was once you accumulate enough – and arguably it's enough. I'm sure if we both adjusted our lifestyles down to whatever, we would never – necessarily need to work again, and I hope that that's perceived well. But then it's like, well, what else do we do? Like, now it's not so much about the money anymore. Like, I get fulfillment from coming in and watching the guys around me succeed, and I explain that to them. My win is the fulfillment. It's not necessarily more money. Now, that's great. That's a side effect of it, but it's the fulfillment I get. I'm sure you get that seeing a new loan officer come in that's hungry and driven and has all the traits needed, and then you watch them just crush it. That's got to feel really – that's almost a – the feeling's got to be comparable to whatever he makes for the company to what you're feeling just watching this guy succeed in the environment that you've created for him.
Absolutely. And, I mean, especially with our call centers, a lot of these people come to work for us at they were making $12, $13, $14 an hour before, and 12 months in, they're making six figures. So, I mean, it's unbelievable.
That's got to feel every bit as good watching that happen.
It absolutely does. And the pure admiration and how thankful they are to you for teaching them a new career and then holding true to your word when you hire them, because it really is a leap of faith. I mean, they're going and taking their education, they're passing their mortgage tests, and it could be a flop, but it's not. And again, we see our people to success.
I'm a big, but one of my big quotes is win-win. And then I always say, if it can't be a win-win and somebody has to lose, I look around to all of the parties and I say to myself, how do I create a scenario where the most amount of people win? If you do have to have a loser, then I go, well, how do I make sure that the most amount of people win? Sure. So that's something that I certainly live by. Win-win. As long as I'm taking care of people around me, people are taking care of me. So is there something that you kind of live your life on a daily basis and kind of live by?
Yeah. It's pretty simple, and it's personal, and I use it in business. It's start where you are, use what you have, and do what you can. If you use those three, you know.
Say it one more time.
Start where you are.
Okay.
Because you are where you are,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Use what you have because you don't have what you don't have.
There you go.
And do the best you can. Do what you can every single day. Put in your 100%, and you'll see results from it.
That's cool.
You know, so I've had that since I was probably 18 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun. Yeah, no, I like hearing stuff like that. There's always something because you say it in your mind and you're like, that worked. So you're like, I'm going to use that one. Yeah. You know, and that's kind of what this whole game is. It's like every day I always tell people in my office, every day I wake up, I have faith in the system that I've built. You got to have faith because there's times where things are great and there's times where things aren't. And if you let the times when they're not get in your head, that means you've lost faith in your system. And then it just erodes your, you know, confidence to move forward away. So every day I wake up, I kind of just go, today I'm going to take a big breath, suck in air, and hope I blow out money. Right. And what that formula looks like, I don't know if I know it every single day, but I just have faith that that will happen.
Yeah, and I have to say, no matter how rough the day was yesterday, somehow, some way, it's God's gift to me. I wake up happy every day. It's like 51st dates. I could be in the worst argument with my wife the night before, and we don't argue very often, but
I get that.
I wake up in the morning and I'm happy, and she's like, well, don't you remember what happened last night? No, honey, it's a new day. That was yesterday. Nothing's big enough to take me down tomorrow, and I just wake up that way naturally. So
such an optimistic mindset. So that's organic.
It's organic.
Yeah. And but now you're aware of it. A lot of our character traits are organic, and over time we become aware of them, mm-hmm. and then we're like, okay, I'm going to do that more. Yeah. You know. So yeah, I think that's huge. And I'm an optimistic person. It's funny because I'm often the feedback I get is that I'm optimistic, and you're always aware, and you're bouncing, you're jamming. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, sometimes I'm like, nah, you know, I'm just. If that's what the world looks at it like, then great. But there's times in my mind where I'm like, man, I'm just not feeling it today. Yeah. But I think at my core, I'm optimistic. I've always got hope. I had a podcast on, I don't know if you heard this one, but I'll just go in it, that if you haven't ran out of gas, you're living too safe. Do you run out of gas? Have you ran out of gas? Or are you not run out of gas guy?
I probably, when I was like 16 years old, I remember it happening once. Yeah.
So I think it was kind of a reflection of my optimism is what I was saying is I've gotten better at today just because it's such an inconvenience and such a disaster to run out of gas. Even though, I mean, I did run out of gas probably 4 months ago, and it was like, I was close enough to the gas station where I could push the Range Rover back. I had to go against traffic. I had to like wait for the light to turn red. And then Danny and I are pushing the Range Rover backwards in traffic to get into the gas station. But anyway, it kind of just plays into my optimism where I'm always thinking so optimistically that I'm like, I'll make it. I'll make it. I'm going to make it. I'll be fine. And it's obviously reality kicks in and goes, it didn't work that time. But I just think it's important to just communicate that the optimism is what that optimism is in all aspects of my life. Until the car stops running, I believe I'm going to make it. And apply that analogy to anything. Is this loan going to close? I believe it's going to close. And I'm going to put every bit of energy behind it to ensure that it closes. And I will be optimistic until that moment happens when it doesn't. But I believe it will until it doesn't.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely.
All right, cool. And you're a family guy too. I mean, why not tap into that? You've got.
Yeah, I've got five kids.
It's incredible. So, got me beat by one.
Yeah, 18, 17, 14, and 5-year-old twins. So we are on our toes. We have everything from hockey to soccer, cheerleading, one in college. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a lot of fun.
And is there have you a system and procedured your way around how to manage all that, or do you just kind of figure it all out and fill it all in?
I'm gonna make it up as I go along, kind of guy.
I do. Yeah. I've heard some people say, like, you know, when I get home, I leave the phone at the office and I shift into dad gear, and that's not my approach. But yeah, I didn't know if maybe you were.
No, so. I mean, certain stuff comes up where I have to have my phone on, but I, you know, we do eat dinner at the table together every night, and I share a special bond with each one of the kids. So definitely present, but I don't have any quirky rules
around it. Yeah,
I don't either. Yeah.
Do you include them in the business?
They know what daddy does. I have not brought them to, I have not included them in the business yet. I really want them to pursue college and so forth. And then,
did you go to college?
Yeah. Yeah.
Got all the bells and whistles, Robert. No, something I do with my boy. And for me, if he wants to be a professional chess player, I'd support him in that. Be the rock star dad over there cheering him on the whole time. But something that I do with him is he's probably been in about 100 of my flips. So I'll take him and show him around and show him what I did and show him how to be good to the workers and all the people around him. He comes to the office. He understands my rental portfolio. I've brought him to appointments where I go and meet tenants for the first time. It's kind of a win both ways because a tenant then perceives me as a human being versus just a landlord. So that's kind of a win in that direction. And then he gets to witness how to communicate and interact with new people. And these are all traits that I'm
trying to maybe subconsciously teach them. My girls, they don't have any interest at all. So they don't, when I go, you want to come with dad to go see a house? They're like, no. So they haven't got to see it.
Yeah. But my oldest two are my girls, and you know, they're both more artsy. One wants to become a veterinarian. The other one is just real artsy. And so my 14-year-old, he has shown interest in mortgage, but I mean, it's kind of a desk job. I want them to really, they've been at a couple of my staff meetings, and we do family events with the staff all the time. So we do a couple of charity events a year, usually where the whole staff brings their family, their kids, and they interact. So they definitely know my staff and have been at events of ours. But as far as putting together a mortgage, we really haven't gone through that.
Yeah, and I could see that. Like, I don't know if I'd want my kid to become a real estate agent.
Right, right.
Honestly, exactly. You know, I didn't go to college. But I would highly encourage, I'd love to see my kids go that route. I think life is a little easier when you've got that behind you.
Yeah. It is. And keep your eye on the ball, kids. And then the world is your oyster.
Yeah.
For sure.
Hey guys, I want to take a second to shout out one of our sponsors, The House of Vegas. I've used quite a few home staging companies, and they are by far the easiest ones to work with. There's no drama, they won't nickel and dime you, and in my experience, they act quickly with little notice. Staging your listings makes a huge difference. Thomas at The House of Vegas can help you out. Call him at 310-503-3611.
So we like to talk about creating lasting wealth. So, you know, obviously you're successful. You're making money. What's your game plan? Everybody's kind of got a different game plan. I was talking to a fellow flipper here in town, and he's like, I don't know if I want to buy rentals. It scares me. What if the market changes? I'm putting all my cash into this. He has his reason. And I go, there's nothing wrong with hoarding cash. You know, you may retire with $10 million in the bank, and that may be your retirement. Sure. For me, mine is I buy rentals and live off the cash flow. Yep. So is there any advice or model that you live by to?
So I got pinched in when the market crashed in 07. So I went very, very heavy cash-wise first. And then between my primary residence and my second home in Idaho, we've got quite a bit of equity, and now I'm starting to create passive investments. So I own my office in Arizona. I own one of my offices out here, and so if I'm my own tenant, I don't have to worry about renters. So
there you go.
Not quite. Haven't gotten into individual investment properties, but I definitely own real estate.
Nice. So you like to buy real estate and have it cash flow, however that looks.
Yeah, as long as I'm in control of it. So if I'm my own tenant or if it's my second home, I got pinched once before having renters. I just wasn't that good at it.
Yeah, no, and if you're not, then it's not.
Right.
I could see that in you, that you're not going to want 50 tenants that you got chased down for $1,000 a month.
Yeah, and I mean, I had one guy, my mom's in the hospital, and I found out it was a meth house, and it cost me $25,000 to convert it back 10 years ago. So I'm like, you know,
that's true story. Yeah, because meth house Vegas, you got to go the whole way to fix those.
Yeah, it costs an arm and a leg. I'm like, God, every bit of rent money I got from the guy and equity I had in the house.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Good. So buying real estate.
Yeah, buying real estate and staying in control of. You know, who occupies it. And
let's tap on that just for a second. I want to try to drop as many nuggets as I can. Staying in control. So I was similar. When I got into real estate in 2005, I was doing land deals. Obviously, I didn't have enough money at the time to take down anything on my own. So I was always taught and educated to participate in the capacity of a passive investor. You know, put $25,000 and $50,000 into a multi-million dollar partnership. Now I get to participate in the gains, but I don't have all that kind of money. Sounded very attractive. It was sexy. I was all into it. I was dumping every commission I had into these partnerships. Market corrects, and now the managing member of that partnership was in complete control of what happened to my investment. And if they were, you know, who knows? Long story short, I ended up losing almost all of my positions in those partnerships because they were poorly managed when things got tough. Something I took away from that was I want to be in complete control of everything that I put my money in. I never want to be a passive investor again. I don't want to believe in somebody else's pitch. The pitch is my pitch, and that's where my money's going to go. So that was one of the reasons that I chose rentals, because for $100,000, $150,000, I could buy an individual property. If I decide to sell it, I can sell it. If things go up, it's in my favor 100%. If things go bad, I only have to look in the mirror.
Sure.
I don't have to go call 10 different partners and go, hey, that investment that you gave me is now gone. So I agree. I think that was a really good point. Being in complete control, is that a model that...
I really haven't had partners just because, I like to be aware of every decision I make, and I take full responsibility if I make a mistake. I don't think you always succeed either. We don't always succeed.
No.
It's just, I bet on myself, and I've been a little more conservative the second time around, after the market crashed in 07. Yeah. And like you said, if there was no more work, I'd have to downsize my lifestyle and my family would be just fine. So, we try and be smart about things.
Well, so that's going to wrap us up here. Why don't you just say, how can people connect with you? I think it's important that people know how to find you. So fire away.
Can connect with me via cell phone, 702-305-6384. Or you can get me on the web, www.robertcoomergroup.com.
Beautiful. Cool. Well, thank you very much for being here and giving us an hour of your time. I know you're busy, and I can vouch for Robert. He's a rock star. So anybody out there, please feel free to use him and reach out and see if you guys can create a win-win relationship.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
Okay.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for today. Thank you so much for listening.
If you enjoyed the show, please rate, subscribe, and share our podcast. You can also connect with us on social media or at galindogrouprealestate.com.
Until next time, thanks again for listening.